Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. My show meaning paid for by me, all me, no paid sponsors. And I am broadcasting live from the heart of District 1 here in downtown Reading. That is KCNR. And you could always listen to my archives. You can go to votekevincry.com, or you could always follow me on Facebook at votekevincry on Facebook. And again, if you're listening online right now live, you're probably listening at 96.5 FM or 1460 AM or possibly KCNR1460.com. And I'm just very thankful for this station. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to actually be able to come to you live every other Sunday here at 8 a.m. in Reading. And I have a lot of listeners I know that are in other areas, and got to meet a lot of great people that first year in office from the failed recall. So I have some supporters that tune in. So today's show is going to be a little different for those individuals out of town. We're going to be talking about, or especially out of state, we're going to be talking about a couple issues. At the very beginning, we're going to talk a little bit about Prop 50, and then we're going to jump into Measure A, which is a local tax measure, and I've invited a gentleman in here to come give some perspective, and his name is Jay Dunlap. You know, as we approach election season, I think it's important to start adjusting our perspective. We've been conditioned to look at ourselves as left versus right, and B, to look at our government as something that is above us. Entertainment and mainstream media have done a great job of turning politicians, and by extension, government officials, into celebrities, status symbols with powerful influence over our everyday lives. You look at Gavin Newsom. I know it's hard to stomach that, but look at Gavin Newsom. They make sure to portray him as very important. You know, he has way too much influence over our society. And it's really time to change our perspective and to look at the machinery of government as something that is below us, from the perspective of something that is on a table and we are standing looking down at it. If it appears unmanageable, we need to shrink it. I know we walk into big government buildings which are designed to make government look bigger than it actually is if we adjust our perspective. And the people in government, we are the people, and we are the government. We need to start looking at people as ourselves. It would be great to lose the left versus right labels, and believe me, I'm one of them that rails against that. I've always said I'm a uniter, and what I've realized, though, is there's a lot of people that do not want to unite. They want to keep screaming. I mean, I had my phone on yesterday because I told a lot of people at coffee and throughout the week that I was going to be a hotline. So if they saw any kings yesterday, they could call me as their District 1 representative, and I'd saddle up on my horse and come down with a sword, and I would take care of the king. But hence, my phone never rang. So I guess we are still a land with no kings. But we need to start really understanding that politicians are just people, and they are there doing their time until it's somebody else's turn. And until we get to that, we're going to continue to have these problems. Prop 50, really quick, and I've said this quite often, that if Prop 50 passes, it is going to be the death of rural counties. And I feel that way on a very, very deep level. I believe that. And I know early voting has started, so a lot of people that are beyond for Prop 50, they probably didn't even take it into the house. They got it in their mailbox. They filled out yes and already sent it back in. But I would tell you, if you're still looking into it, just understand this. If you're a conservative, or even if you're consider yourself on the liberal side, but you want home rule, then you are a big no on Prop 50, because we are going to lose all representation. We have very little as it is right now in the state of California. If Prop 50 passes, now we will have zero representation federally as well. And one of the things, you know, when you start looking at the ads, because that's one thing that's always been really interesting to me, is as I got into politics, I started watching ads more, understanding the science behind the ads, and whether it's a print ad and where things are on the sheet of paper and where your eyes go first, that's all science, or actually the commercials. And the CTA, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, union in the country, the California Teachers Association, they are paying for these ads that Obama's in. And they're pushing Prop 50. So if you think the school system is just a top-notch, well-run organization with the teachers' unions and all of that, then, yeah, that should tell you something, that the CTA and the schools that, you know, wanted to vaccinate your kids, wanted to lock your kids out, and it's all about them, not about the kids. They want Prop 50. So if you think the school system's doing a bang-up job, then, you know, maybe you would be a yes vote. But if you think the school system needs a big overhaul, then you'd be a no vote. And the last thing I want to say is as it relates to Prop 50. And again, I'm trying not to just rail on this. And why am I so outspoken on this, but I'm not on other things? What really, really bothers me is I'm now seeing the federal politics and the state politics become very, very hyper local. And that really bothers me, because one of the things I ran on and will continue to stand up for is about government transparency and then local control. And we're losing all of that really fast, and people are still, you know, going shopping, getting gas, going to the ball field, working out, and they're not realizing how fast our liberty and our control locally is being ripped away, and they're not even hiding it anymore. So again, I would say if you need to do any looking into it, do it, but it is a hard no on Prop 50. Mr. Dunlap, I have Jay Dunlap in here with me. How you doing this morning, sir?
Very good, Kevin. It's nice to be here. It's an honor to be on, and you know, I'm just going to say that while I'm not here to talk about 50, 50 is a horrible thing. That if you look at local control, and if you think about one person, one vote mattering, it is not going to matter if you are gerrymandered into a district that is just skewed to make you not count.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you said that, because if you didn't, this interview would be over. We'd go to commercial break for 40 minutes. No, but you know, one of the things for me as – and I know you've been on a few different shows – And one of the reasons why I actually – you'd come to coffee and I think, hey, this is actually – you know, I should have you on, because the one side, the people that are for Measure A are spending a lot of money in ads, in print, and a lot of stuff. And really, I would say the quote-unquote resistance to Measure A is essentially you and Dale Ball. Dale Ball went out and bought some signs. And then I know you've done some podcasts and some different interviews.
And Joe Kinnear. That was the three of us that
Joe Kinnear, okay.
That jumped in the middle of this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, if anybody who is for Measure A wants to come on, I've got another show. I mean, I'm open to that. Give me a call. I'm a pretty easy guy to get a hold of. So tell me a little bit, Jay, just for people that don't know you, like, where are you from? How'd you get here? And just give us a 60-second flyby of how Jay Dunlap came to Shasta County.
You bet. Number one, I've spent all of my life trying to stay out of this arena, that I did not want to be in any way associated with politics. I have a lot of opinions, but I'm going to vote and let the rest of it work itself out. But we'll talk about A in a second, but this is not my gig, and I can't wait till it's over, because it's just not where I have fun.
Yeah.
So for my background, I'm fifth generation, far northern California on both sides. My dad's side, the Dunlaps. My dad's generally known for Shira Dunlap Sawyer. He founded that and then merged with John Shira.
I had no idea that you were that Dunlap.
Yeah.
I used to cut John Shara's lawn when I was in junior high.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's good. And so my dad is very politically active, been on a lot of boards, and run a lot of campaigns. And I grew up walking precincts with him and knocking on doors and handing out flyers and, you know, has that background. But the Dunlaps here had stores. If you know about over on Pine Street and Placer by Danburger and Taroko, the green building that's there,
yeah,
that was a Dunlap store.
Okay.
And so I show that picture a lot. One of my forebears, Ivan Dunlap, was mayor of Redding. And so we've been around a long time. On my mom's side, they have a large cattle ranch up in the Lassen-Modoc area. And so I went to Grant Elementary and then Nova High and Shasta High and Shasta College. And I remember a lot of very fond things about Reading and some not great things. And when I look at Reading today, I think Reading is better today than when I grew up. There's a lot bigger economy, a lot of great things. But the thing that really bothers me is that its politics are moving away from the people and away from being fiscally conservative. And it's not
I don't think they're moving. I think they've moved.
Yeah, no, it is. So I, even before any of this came up, I would tell people that I lived for a while in San Francisco and I lived for a while in Manhattan, and I was, you know, those are extremely, extremely tax and spend locations. And when I first came back to Reading this time in 2019, I told people, I'm just shocked that Reading doesn't seem to be voting locally the way they do nationally at the federal level, that if you are at the state level. I've said, if you voted for Doug LaMalfa, why are you electing these council members that are giving raises of this size? It just doesn't make any sense. So things are out of line.
Yeah, I think things are extremely out of line. One of the things, when I got, you know, when I first was seated and started sitting with Nolda Short, our auditor controller, who's a phenomenal human being and just, you know, an incredible, incredible public servant. I mean, she's the definition, I mean, of what a, to me, what a public servant should be, or, just anyway, I'll just leave that there. I just can't say enough about the work that she does, how she does it, and she represents what I believe most people in Shasta County are, which are very, very conservative. And you start looking at how money has been spent, especially since like right before COVID and through COVID. And I take a lot of pride's the wrong word, but I take a lot of I'm just really thankful for Supervisor Kelstrom and myself being able to be seated and really like stop a lot of the bleeding and then turning it around. And even this past year, I mean, our budget was a lower number than it had been in the previous years, which I believe another supervisor had quoted it was the first time in like 16 years. So that's we're turning
phenomenal.
That around.
Phenomenal.
Okay, so tell me a little bit. How were you awakened to Measure A?
Like, yeah.
I mean, you obviously have a very staunch history in Reading. So, and there's been other sales taxes. Why this one?
Yeah, you bet. So the other piece, just to round out the picture, I came back in 2019 and joined my longtime friend and mentor Dan Morrow in my ownership of Softech, a local manufacturing and engineering firm. And we, one of the things that I'm asked frequently is, why Reading? Why do you have the company in Reading? And we have a phenomenal workforce. And so when you had, you know, talked about some of the things that you have a lot of pride about Reading, this is a DIY, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. People's grandfathers were working in the woods. You know, this is a place that you learn how to work. And so when we hire people to come in and do the work on our manufacturing, they know how to show up on time. They have a huge pride in the work that they do and the quality. And when I just compare that to other places where our competitors are, they say, no, I can't get people to show up to work. They don't have a work ethic. And so I say all the time, this is what Reading has. And so what I wanted to know is, why is that not reflected in our spending? Why does the government not look like the people? So the story was, I was at a chamber event and I heard someone talking about Measure A. I purposely ignored it. I don't care about this sales tax thing. It's not going to affect me. And then when they talked about it, the one thing I've done a lot of my life in is marketing. And so this sounded like a really great sales pitch. I worked in venture capital and private equity, and one of my jobs was to listen to pitches from people with billions of dollars that wanted to give out millions of dollars. And so I would filter those out. And so I went to the person and I said, hey, that's really slick. Like you pitched that really well. Where'd you get that? And they said, no, I just think that. And I go, there's no way. Sorry. This is refined, or, you know, the wording was great. They didn't want to talk about it. Two or three days later, I was at a Turtle Bay event, heard the exact same words from a different person. I knew this person a little better. I asked them. They said, well, we've raised some money and we've got some outside help and they're helping us get this measure done. And I said, well, that's just feels a little odd. I'll look into it. And so that led to me looking at some research. I then posted a few questions on Facebook. Hey, what's behind this? What do people think? In the next day, I had 15 Facebook messages, 5 emails, and 10 texts, all saying, I've got to talk to you. And so I spent the next 2 weeks having meetings with everybody that you can imagine on the Pro-A side, and they all had the same story.
Most of them have a recall Kevin Kreis shirt in their in their drawers, in their dresser.
Yeah, and so and these are in general people that I know and I like.
That's not fair because there's a lot of people that are pro Measure A that are good friends of mine. So I shouldn't say that. I chuckle at a few of them.
Yeah, exactly. No. And so, but I found these people in general that they I'm going to say well intended but misinformed, and they were not speaking from their heart or from what they believed. They were speaking from what they had been told. And so I started asking, why are you behind this? And, what's causing you to be so passionate? And they're like, we can't pay for our roads. We can't pay for police. The fire stations can't get to your house in time. Things are going to burn down. And so then I started looking at the budget and, everybody's been really, really good. I've met with several council people. I've had, I think about a total of 8 hours with Greg Robinette, the city treasurer. And everybody's been forthcoming. I don't think there's any, laws being broken. I know that there's a whole other tangent where things in the past not done correctly. That's not where I'm coming from. My point is, that during the era of Barry Tippin and Julie Winter, there were enormous raises given, they say for market reasons, which was just simply taking the taxpayers' money and giving it away to city employees.
Yeah, well, I believe the vote then was Julie Winters, Christian Schrader, Aaron Reznor, were pro, and I believe Mark Mazzano and Michael DeQuisto were no's, and the others were yeses, I think.
Yeah, I don't have the voting record, but I know I did listen to the actual meeting where this occurred, and I just cringe that, again, I've spent my life in business as a CEO. I've run $200 million budgets, and I always had a board on the other side, and so I would have these great grandiose ideas of things I wanted to do. And then my board would say, Jay, that was cute, but no, you can't spend that money. You need to find another way. And in our city government, there's no board, that there's no one giving a counter to the city manager who wants to spend money to make the city better. And when I say the city, I don't mean where people live and where they work. I mean the big fancy buildings that they work in, and they want to hire more people and give more raises.
Yeah. What was the messaging that you initially heard that made you kind of like tilt your head to the side and say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. That sounds pretty professional, or that sounds pretty, what was the thing that they said that caught your attention the most?
Yeah, absolutely. So one would just be the wording that, having a great, ad, if you think about what goes into, a Pepsi ad, it's not like somebody goes in a room and just writes that up and they hand it out. There's people that are experts in communication. And I would say just the wording of the Pro A message was professionally created. Second, it was fear-based, that the city can't pay for roads, the city can't pay for police, and if we don't pass A, everything is going to close. And so I just go, how did we get here then? If we're at this dire situation that the city's been run so poorly, we can't have our roads paved and we can't have a civic auditorium, that didn't happen overnight. There's got to be a bigger problem. And whenever I asked about that, no one wanted to talk about it.
I pretty much stay, I didn't talk to really any of the signature gatherers. I've just really tried to stay. One of the things, again, like Prop A is a little bit different for me.
Yep.
I'm sorry, Prop 50. But Measure A is, one of those things that, I realize in office, because I was in Target the other day and a lady, realized who I was and wanted my opinion on different things. Yep. And I hold that very, it's important. I know how many people listen to what I would say and I try to let people come to their own conclusions because that's really what I want. Measure or Prop 50 is different because I just feel like we don't have the opportunity to lose because once that, if that was to pass, it's over. It's checkmate for Shasta County and many other rural counties. So let me ask you this.
Yep.
When they say that the Civic's going to close, like, is that true?
I hope not. The Civic Auditorium is a city property, and they've contracted with an outside entity, Advanced Reading, to run that. And as we all know, that for a long period of time, Advanced Reading's biggest client was Bethel. They had their BSSM, the school that they ran there, and that was a fabulous tenant. I think when the economy changed and Bethel changed and those students no longer came here, they're doing that online now mostly, that they gave their notice and we're not going to rent this, I think that caught the Advanced Reading off guard. I don't think they were thinking about, I've got to run a profitable organization.
Well, Jay, what happens when a business can't make their rent. I mean, no. Shouldn't the public subsidize that?
No.
I mean, if there's a restaurant that I like, but not a lot of people go there, like, right. Doesn't that make sense to just get a coffee can and go door to door and say, I like this restaurant. I'd like you to help keep it open, even though you're never going to go there.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll just say the thing with the Civic is Weird Al Yankovic just came not too long ago.
Yes.
My wife and I went years ago, 20 years ago. You know, and I think we paid, you know, $30-$40.
Yeah.
Sit the first few rows, whatever. Came back this time, and I could pay $100 and sit in the lawn.
Yes.
With my son. Yeah. And, you know, and I just, you know, can we afford that? Like, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know, this is crazy.
Yeah. I've met with Julie Dyer. I like Julie Dyer.
Julie and I met
one time for a short period. And we both yelled at each other for about half the time, and then, you know, we laughed and tried to make up. I think that she's got a hard job. I think running a major enterprise.
What is she paid? She's paid like over $100,000, isn't she?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing.
Quite a bit.
I'm not picking on people.
Well, let me.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me tell you one thing, though. So I think that she's got a hard job, and I think they should figure it out and do it. What I don't think is that people that get up in the morning and they go to a job and they work all day long and they come home, that they should donate part of their money to concert tickets. I just don't think that's what our taxes should go for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't remember anybody calling me and consoling me during COVID when I dwindled my savings to like almost nothing.
Yes, right.
I don't remember anybody calling and consoling me when I was sleeping in my car when I was doing business trips to San Diego.
Yes.
Because it was cheaper for me to sleep in my car, shower at the YMCA, have my meeting in the morning, and then drive back the next day. Like, but you know, you got to sacrifice.
No. And to show you how committed I am. So, and again, this is a small town, and I'm very, very connected to a lot of this. So again, Erica Jones is the wife of Todd Jones, and Todd and Erica are as pro-A as you could possibly get. Erica calls me Uncle Jay. I lived with Dan and Anne Marie Morrow, her parents, when in the 80s. So I'm part of all this. And so what I've told Eric is, look, I go to almost every single concert at the Civic. What the Civic needs is a foundation. And a foundation is people that want the arts to happen voluntarily take their own money and they donate it. I'm completely fine with that. And just to make it really clear, I've told Erica and Julie, I'll write the first $1,000 check to the foundation that saves the Civic.
Yeah.
But that is not the taxpayer's job, is to keep the Civic open because they're not selling enough concert tickets.
Yeah, well, I'll give you two examples for me. And again, this isn't about Measure A, but this is about that same type of thing. The rodeo. You know,
yes, no.
I'm not a big rodeo guy, but yeah. I go and I buy so much stuff.
Yes.
Between swag.
Yes.
I spend more money on diet soda in the summer at the rodeo. I mean, I probably spend $50 or $60 just on diet soda, and I'm freaking cheap, Jay. I mean, you could say frugal, but I am cheap. Like, it's like, hey, waters. We're all having waters. We can go get a soda. Yeah. And but I'm, you know, when we go to restaurants as a family, but for me, you know, because I believe, because I remember going to the rodeo as a kid. And, you know, they put a bunch of kids in there. I was like 10 or 11 years old. They turn a sheep loose, and if you get it, and I got like a jumbo pack of Skittles. And for a fat kid, you know, I was 10 years old, I get this bag of Skittles. You might as well have thought I got like a Brinks truck full of cash. So that memory for me alone, I will spend so much money at the rodeo with the vendors to make sure everybody like gets something. Even when like money was tight, I would still do that. And my wife we haven't gone a ton to the rodeo, but when we do go, especially now that I'm in office and stuff, I really try and do that. The other thing too,
well, let me jump on the rodeo.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I like it when you bring these things up. It makes me think. So I love the rodeo, and I think I've gone. I'm 60 years old, and I think I've gone to the rodeo 55 years. My dad has a box seat down in front, and it's a major family event. I go to the pancake breakfast. I take my staff that I pay for to come down and eat the pancake rodeo breakfast.
Yeah.
I think the rodeo is an amazing thing. I was at the Golden Valley Bank social the other night, and Baron, the president of the rodeo, was there, and with, you know, the Asphalt Cowboy guys. And so I went out of my way. Wilmer shook his hand, and I would say I was surprised. He was not overjoyed to see me. He did know who I was, I guess, from my videos. And I want to say here what I would say any place. I don't want to have two personas. I have got this, you know, Real Reading Facebook page where we make all these videos.
It's Real Reading, R-E-A-L, right?
Reading Economic Accountability League, R-E-A-L. Let's just use our money right. But so I don't want to be like, you know, people have said hi to me on this webpage, that I think that the rodeo grounds is the crown jewel of Reading. I mean, it is a beautiful spot. And so the same way, if somebody said, hey, I'm going to give you the Reading Rodeo Grounds and you own it and you can do anything you want with it, how much money would you make? I would be rich. I would be rich if I could do something with that property. How many nights do they use that a year? And so I think that instead of asking Reading taxpayers to say, fund the rodeo and pay for everything that we can't pay for, get off your butt, get out, and get a business plan and raise some money and get the rodeo moving. Like,
well, I'll tell you last night, and this is the other example I had. I went to an event at the Sheraton. It was the Children's Evangelism Fellowship gala, however you pronounce that. And, you know, and I was invited by some people to attend, and they had a nice dinner. There's envelopes on the table, and man, their pitch was freaking dialed.
Yes.
It was, they said, hey, we got to raise $100,000 tonight. Yeah. And I'm thinking with, you know, a political hat on, because I go to a lot of rubber chicken dinners. And the way they did it, it wasn't that it was slick, but it was very professional.
Yep.
And it was very matter of fact. They said, because I've done this with campaigns. I've said, hey, if you donate X, it's this many radio spots. If you donate this, it's a flyer. If you donate this, but there's a cap. They went all the way up to saying, hey, 60 grand funds a full-time missionary, which is going to be doing, it's the good, you know, the Good News Club. They have it in schools.
Yep.
So that's what this organization does. Nice. And they didn't let you out of the building until everybody turned their envelopes into your table lead. And I bet you they had to raise way over 100 grand.
Yes.
Because what they tied it to, and Child Evangelism Fellowship is a phenomenal organization. I knew they existed. I'd heard of them, but didn't understand really how the Good News Clubs came about. But, that's the type of thing you have, you know, whatever there was, 100, 150 people. Nah, probably not even that. Probably 100, maybe 125. And they want, no, it couldn't have been that, because there probably only was 15 tables to like 8 at a table. So anyway, point being is they raised it, and it was for a mission, and it wasn't, you know, if you believe in it, you pay for it.
That's exactly right. That's the choice. That taxes should not be somebody else taking your money and spending it where you don't want.
Yeah, well, so I just realized we're blowing through the break. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come right back. We're going to finish up. And I want to ask you a few questions as it relates to public safety.
You bet.
And this measure, because there's things I think the public may need to know.
Yep.
With that, we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Great food, affordable prices, friendly service. You'll find all that and more 7 days a week at Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment. Open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sundays. From homemade soup, salads, and sandwiches to great steak, seafood, and Italian dishes, everything is made fresh daily and served with a smile, or we're happy to serve your meals to go. Simply call in your order to 243-6251. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, daily specials, and prime rib are available any time of the day. Lulu's Eat-In and Drink-In Establishment, where Pine meets Cypress Avenue, home of the best Bloody Mary in town.
Shasta County Republican Central Committee invites you to secure California elections with Carl DeMaio and Clint Curtis. Come join us for this free event and learn about the Voter ID Initiative with Carl DeMaio. Wind River, October 21st, Eagle Room, doors open at 5 p.m. Must register at www.shastagop.com. Come learn what secure elections and the gerrymandering of Prop 50 is all about. Paid for by Clint Curtis for County Clerk 2026.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Garcia Cuban Classic. Wrapped in a beautiful Habano Rosado leaf, these cigars are jam-packed with lush, hearty Nicaraguan tobacco. Rich, robust, and yet complex and balanced. notes of cedar, smoked cashews, black pepper, and cocoa. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
All right, we are back. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show, broadcasting live here in the heart of District 1 in downtown Redding. Again, you could listen to my archives at votekevincry.com, or you can follow me on Facebook at votekevincry. One of the things that song right there, American Flags, you know, and Take USA Back. I just want to take Shasta County back, and I know that I've been on a mission the last two to three years, and we're doing that. We're taking the county back. Fiscally, you know, we've cut impact fees, which I believe are super unconstitutional. There is no growth here. And then also, we've audited a bunch of fees that our auditor controller is going to be bringing a report back, and you're going to see how we're going to continue to return money to the people, because I think we have to be fiscally sound. One of the things that I've heard and I listened to, you know, and again, I'm thankful for the station and the platform, you know, and Carl Bott is conservative-ish, you know, and he was interviewing Hope Seth. And I have a lot of respect for Hope Seth. I've known her a long time. Great lady. We've actually worked with her with Youth Option Shasta and her leadership capability of building infrastructure and teams. But, you know, he asked her a question about a poison pill or about the city being able to allocate money differently. And that's what bothered me. And, you know, we talked about this basically at the break, and you said, yeah, you heard it too. So, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you know, can this money be shuffled around? Can it be a shell game? And so you heard that interview where Hope Seth answered it, and she answered it honestly, but it was asked by Carl in such a way that it was working towards an outcome that he wanted her to answer. And that's where I felt like, well, Carl's selling out. So, Jay.
Total softball.
Yeah, so go ahead and articulate for the people how that question went and what that's about for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Back to my story that I was, you know, kind of on the fence. I asked questions. People blew up. I did my research. I came out as anti-A. I've been anti-A and I've been working on that. When I went from kind of just like, I don't like this and I'm working against it, to where I was furious, was when I learned about this loophole about maintenance of effort, MOE. And when I learned about this, you know, and again, thank God for AI. You know, I've had a crash course in city politics and governance and budgets, some with the help of city council and Mike Latow and Greg Robinette. They've, you know, every question I've asked, they've tried to answer the best they could. But, you know, Grok and Gemini and ChatGPT have done the heavy lifting on this. And so I just asked those AI tools, here, read Measure A, and is this money safe and can it be spent elsewhere? And it says immediately, no. And it explained very clearly that there is a way that you can pass a sales tax, and this is a special tax. That's one of the things that Carl in the softball question to Hope asked, and I'll explain that in a sec. But in a tax, you can say that if you spent $10 million on police last year and then you raise money from A, you've got to take the money from A and it's got to go up from $10 million. So it's a net increase, which would be great. This is the exact opposite. You can have $10 million in police today, raise $5 million in Measure A, add it and have 15. Oh, we're winning. Then you can take as much money out of you want in police immediately and spend that any place you want. And so the word is fungible, that they've left Measure A fungible, that the money can be moved at any point to any place that the city manager and the council agree on. And so again, to your point that Carl asked in a very, I would say, precise way, is Measure, he goes, I've heard that you can spend this money other places and the city council could steal the money. Is Measure A protected from the city council taking that money from Measure A and spending it elsewhere? Hope said accurately, no, it's got to go into a special account and then it's got to be given to the places that are in Measure A. It's got to go to those places. The follow-up question would have been, does it have to stay there, right? And the answer would be no. So I've asked Hope. So I was with Hope last night that we've spent a lot of time fighting online. And like you, I have a lot of respect. Very smart lady. Has done tremendously good work. She was part of manufacturing North State, and I was part of that as well with Softtech. So she's done a lot of great stuff. So I was with Hope last night, and I said the question everybody needs to ask is, very precisely, If Measure A passes, is it legally guaranteed the police budget will go up? And she says, no, I don't want to talk about that, because the answer is no.
Of course she doesn't want to talk about that.
The answer is no, that you can take the $30 million that comes in from A, distribute it to all these accounts, and then the very next day take it back out and spend it any place you like.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing for, you know, and that's the hardest thing for me, Jay, is you get that expression that, you know, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees. Yeah. And I see a lot of people capitulating because the elites in this county, or let's just say the city of Reading even, they so desperately want to hold on to what they have and what they've built, and they want to protect that.
Yes.
And there's a lot of us that I think are just, you know, Joe Blows, you know, Jane Doe, that are just like, hey, wait a minute, I'm just asking questions. Like, why can't we just ask the question? And again, like, I'm not publicly, right? I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm just saying, like, I'm asking these questions. I've asked our county council, Joe Larmer, and he has seen, I mean, again, you know, if you want, I mean, he's not going to respond to an email, but if you look at what happened at Yuba County, like, dig into that. People should look into Yuba, what people can do in terms of how they can move money. And it's, you know, there's people that are really, really smart. And again, they want to keep the machine going. And what I want to see is, Councilman Mike Letaw talked about doing some big cuts. And they say, well, we can't get enough money if we just, okay, well, then just start with that. You know,
just start.
Yeah, because when people say, okay, I got, you know, I've got high cholesterol, or I've got, you know, early onset diabetes, and they say, well, you know, my doctor wants me to, you know, to swim or walk or bike or lift or do this or do that. But you know what? I've only got 5 minutes a day, so I'm not going to do anything.
Yes.
And then, you know, families bury the patriarch of the family because, you know, he wouldn't just spend 5 minutes a day doing the little things to ramp up to do the big things, which
just start.
And that's one of the things I see in government. And I'm not even talking about just the tax measure. I'm talking about just in general. The reason why so many people fail in so many areas of their life is they're just paralyzed by not starting, not doing the hard thing to start and getting that momentum. What do you see then for, if I could, this is what I think. And I liken this to, and this is a more of a systemic problem, but if you look in Shasta County has 25 to 30 school districts. We have 25,000 kids, so we pretty much have a school district for every 1,000 kids. If the county really wanted to impact kids, they could take our county down to about 4 or 5 school districts, take all that extra bureaucracy and money, and do so much more for kids. But too many people, which I get, they want representation for their school of 300, 600 people. So you get a board that will never dissolve because they want say. And I think that's important to have that type of representation. At the same time, what we have here is when we talk about police and fire and public safety, it's not a Reading PD issue about safety. It's a jail problem.
Yes.
And my thing is, with this measure, if any tax of any kind passes, the chances of a jail ever getting built are zero.
Yes.
And they may be zero anyway. But realistically, I think, and this is a radical idea I've never even talked about on the radio, but I think, you know, RPD and AP, I think it should just be a sheriff's department allocate all this money so we can actually move the needle in a crime and punishment or a law and order avenue to say, hey, look, instead of having all these beat cops arresting people, taking them up, they get released right away, it's got to start foundationally with a jail, and then let's build back and say, okay, well, now we're going to arrest people and be able to keep them. And so what do you say about the law enforcement component of this, and how do you see that money helping or not helping as it relates to more beat officers?
So 100%. I think one of the things that I've said around this entire initiative is that we need to look for – so I'm not just anti-A to be anti-A, that the city of Reading has had gross out-of-control spending, and they took money for police and fire, and they spent it on executive raises and raises across the board. And that was a massive mistake, and it has to be rolled back, number one. Number two, for the police, that if there was a sales tax that was going to guarantee that the money went to the police and went to fire, and then there was a plan what to use that money for in an intelligent way, not just hiring people, but it was going to actually move the needle in the things we care about, homelessness, open drug use, all these topics, I would actually back it. I'm not just like a no tax, never, but this is a unintelligent tax. And so the other piece is that if we look right now in shared services, I've asked many people and they said, I don't know about that. Well, I think we should look. If you look at how many calls that we go out on for police and fire and how much of that is around homelessness just by itself, why don't we look with the county as a macro versus just Reading right here and say, let's look at this as a systemic issue in our population. It's a less rich county. And what could we do to use our resources better between the city and the county? And yeah, if there was a way we could spend more effectively and have better outcomes, that should be priority one.
Yeah. I mean, Jay, I honestly feel, you know, you, I, Dave, our producer, and maybe, you know, Frank, who's listening out there in the lobby, and just one other person walking out here, we could fix all these problems. it's really not difficult. It's just really getting the people that are going to lose power, are going to lose influence, are going to lose money, are the ones that get in the way.
Yeah.
And I think to your point, you're exactly right. And those are some of the questions I brought up. And so this is where I get into jurisdiction, like what I can control. And that's why I'm pretty much staying out of Measure A, essentially, because it's a City of Reading thing, which is my district. But it's not a I need more people to wake up and see what's going on. Because sometimes the best thing that can happen is for your child to burn their hand on the stove, and they learn from it, and they learn two things. One, maybe I should listen to mom and dad that it was hot, and there is some credibility there. And two, I think people learn. I mean, if you're smart, you learn from your own mistakes.
Don't do it again.
Wise, if you're wise, you learn from the mistakes of others. And a lot of people have to be smart, you know. And when it comes to being wise, I think, If this passes or not passes, people are going to be able to armchair quarterback, and they're going to look back and say, oh, I wasn't paying attention, or this is what happens when people don't, because it's much like the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I mean, look at how much more inertia and momentum a conservative movement has in young people because of that. Now, that's a horrible thing to have to happen. However, there is some good that is coming out of it with all the chapters and everything else. So in terms of Measure A, when people say, well, you know, it's a cup of coffee a month, and I just chuckle.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
$30 million is what it is. $30 million. If you don't think you're going to notice $30 million being spent, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. What is something that – let me ask you. When we talk about the police and fire, do you think if they would have done like a quarter or half-cent sales tax and just focused on public safety
– yes.
That would have passed?
Yes. Yeah. I think if they had had their measure say and do the same thing, but it says one thing and it does another. So if they had said, you know what, we're not going to subsidize the rodeo and the ballpark and, you know, all the rest of that, that's not in there. We're not going to have a 10% slush fund. Where in the world does the 10% slush fund go? We're not going to have that. And we're going to absolutely guarantee that every cent from a sales tax increase will go to police and fire. I think it would have passed.
Have you spoke to many people in public safety, law enforcement, or fire individuals, like personally talked to many of them just about where they feel?
In the past, so when we moved the business, we were out on Caterpillar Road, and I have a huge passion for downtown Reading. I live in downtown Reading, and I wanted the building of downtown Reading. So we moved down to Walden Street. You know, that was not the best and safest part of town, and my employees had concerns. And so RPD was fabulous. We had a tour of the property. We walked along the train tracks. They gave us, you know, all sorts of ideas for cameras and lighting. And then I had three officers, cell phones that I could text them and say, hey, we've got a real problem over here around Calaboose Creek. You know, could you come down? I've got, you know, staff showing up in the dark and they're afraid to get out of their cars. And they were phenomenal. So I am a massive fan of RPD. I think when we look into the union and we think into some way of, you know, not the beat cops and what they're getting paid, but some of the administrators, again, I've taken so much flack for Transparent California that we posted wages that came out, and I've just been called a liar and, you know, yada, yada. The data on Transparent California is 100% true. It's a bipartisan website, and it's provided for voter information. There's nothing misleading whatsoever. And so there was a police individual that had $622,000. And so I asked the city. I said, hey, I'm getting beat up over this. Is that real? And they said, yeah. He cashed out around $200,000 of vacation that went in plus this $400,000 that he was making. So it was $600,000 paid to a policeman. And so again, if you think that we couldn't hire other police with that, the other piece is, you know, not to complicate this even further, but there's this whole pension problem, UAL, right? CalPERS. Oh, yeah. So, just magically, the amount we want to raise is $30 million. That's what the city spends every year. And so we have a credit card debt that we're paying for pensions that is chewing up the funding for 200 police officers. It costs about $200K to hire a policeman to train him and get his equipment, about $200K. You could have 150 police, new beat cops if we weren't just paying this Visa debt. And so I've said the number one initiative that we have to do is address the unfunded pensions. And the ways you do that, take the hiring levels at the city back to what they used to be. Take all these people they hired that they didn't need. Our population hasn't changed. Why are you hiring more people?
Hey, that is why, sorry, but this is why, I was so adamant about impact fees. And then, you know, and then you have these clowns that come up in public comment, I'm sorry, that say, reinstate the impact fees. Where are we going to get our money? And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I feel like it's like I'm just waiting for Alfred Hitchcock to walk in.
Yes.
You know, and it's the Twilight Zone.
Twilight Zone.
People say that out loud.
Yeah.
Like, holy cow.
If I go back to what I really knew that was true.
Did I say clowns? That's not true. Incredible clowns. Okay, I'm sorry. I just want to make sure I make that point.
That's good.
I mean, go ahead. I mean,
so I think the one thing that we're going to say everyone in the North State would agree on is what we would call common sense. And common sense is you do not spend money that you don't have. And the city of Reading did that. They spent themselves into a deficit. Second, you manage a budget. And so you pick what is the most important thing and let's pay for that first. And the city of Reading is not doing that. They're spending on silly, frivolous things and then we can't pay for our roads. And then they act like that's a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the best thing that ever happened to me, Jay, in business was I BK'd.
Yeah.
I got way too aggressive. And honestly, you know, going through 2007, like, you know, I had never been through anything like that. So when you're looking to grow and expand and build, and it was like, boom, learned a hard lesson. It was the best lesson I could have ever learned. The best lesson. I would have rather not.
School of Hard Knocks is the best school.
Oh, and I have.
You don't touch a hot stove twice.
I have a master's degree in the School of Hard Knocks when it comes to, leveraging and pushing too far.
Yeah.
And I did that. And I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud of that, but I'm super, super devout in what I've learned in that process. You can't spend what you don't have. And here's the thing about government for me. I'm not risking other people's money. So when the crazies want to sit and say that, you know, this board or the past board have cost millions of dollars, that's actually the exact opposite. And the reason they're louder is because they know what we're doing is we're taking money from things that are their pet projects or are their people in higher government. And I'm just saying no. Like, that's not how this world is supposed to work. That's not how government is supposed to work. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just nodding on every point. And again, if we could just have two things happen that would just be revolutionary on every single point, we need more people to vote. That there's 90,000 people in Reading and there's only about 60,000 registered voters. Go out and register and get involved. And second, on an off-year election that we're having now, thank God for Prop 50 because it's going to get voter turnout up for everybody to come vote no on 50. But on an off-year non-presidential election, there's only about 25,000 people vote. If you're registered to vote and you don't vote, I don't understand why you're here. You need to get up and fill out your ballot. I don't care right now if you vote for yes or no on A. At least go vote.
Have a say.
Just have a say.
Have
Be
a
part
say.
Of it. Look at it. Read it. The other piece is I just want to make it as clear as I possibly can. I have nothing to gain or lose by A passing. It doesn't affect my life in any way. I'm not going to notice a sales tax.
Oh, I'll tell you what, though. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Are there people that do stand to gain?
Massively.
If it passes, that are pushing it?
So we've had this whole idea that this is a grassroots campaign. They raised $250,000, and if we look at who gave to that, Advance Reading. Who just got $700,000 from City Council, the Rodeo Association, who stands to get millions of dollars per year, And this is a special interest funded initiative. And the thing that just gets me again back to like the DIY, you know, hard work ethic, they took $100,000 of that money and they paid signature gatherers from out of state. And I go, I grew up walking door to door, knocking on doors, handing out leaflets, putting up yard signs. This is a tax and spend elitist movement.
Yeah.
They're not doing the hard work. It's not grassroots. It is special interest led, and they're running it like a slick political campaign.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, I've really seen Jay in politics, just the underbelly of why we are where we are. Like, I can remember coming up to Big Five to get a pair of cleats or whatever when I was in, you know, junior high or elementary school, and the Mount Shasta Mall was a dirt lot. Like, I can remember those things. Yep. Like, you know, I mean, anybody that's in their 50s or 60s here in Shasta County can remember. You know, it's like if you were going to go to Redding and you lived in South County, Anderson, Cottonwood, it was a big deal to go to Redding. Like, oh, I'm not going to Redding today. Like, we're going to go this weekend because we make one trip a week because it was a big deal. And it's like, did you call your grandmother, you know, long distance? You made a long distance phone call. So it was like that's I remember Shasta County in that time. And now fast forward all these years. And I remember when we got an Outback. I remember a Discovery Village. I remember Big League Dreams. And you start to look at all these public-private partnerships that were all these great things when I was growing up. And you look at them now and you're like, government destroyed them.
Yeah.
Government destroyed them. And now we're subsidizing them. And I love Big League Dreams. I don't think my neighbor, who's never had any kids, let's just hypothetically say they're in their 70s, you know, should they pay to keep that open? Like, you know, and that's my question.
I think you could. So the other point that I forgot about that you brought up about the rodeo where you spend a lot of money, that Advanced Reading and the Civic and the ball field, they both have liquor licenses that those are worth a mint. And if you can't have a property like the ball field, the Big League Dreams, and you have concessions and you can't make money, there's a fundamental problem. And the fundamental problem is I don't need to make money because the city's going to bail me out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, that's why people take Ozempic, you know,
yeah.
You know, or it's why people, you know, well, seriously, like,
no,
we just live in a society that says, let me just take a pill. Let me, you know, they just, I'm not responsible,
yeah.
You know, and I could have a heart attack later today. And there's, you know, probably 48% of people that listen to this, some of the crazy lunatics that actually listen to my show who can't stand me, but yet they listen. It's like, they can't help themselves.
They can't get enough.
Yeah. And there's someone right now sitting in the recliner, like adjusting, you know, kind of moving because they know I'm talking about them. But the reality is that you have to be responsible for your own actions and quit putting, you know, things on the backs of taxpayers. And that's what concerns me about this. Again, I'm staying pretty neutral. And again, if you're pro Measure A, call me, come on. I mean, I've reached out a few different times to different people, and I just think people think I'm just going to hammer them. And I've been pretty neutral in this whole process. It's just like, hey, you got to do the research. I want people to wake up and read it for what it is.
No, and so the other piece for me is, you know, they raised the money and they spent this money that, one of the things that just got me the other day was I was on Instagram. They have paid ads. And so again, the no on A effort, I don't know who else was involved, but Joe Kinnear and I went to lunch and we said, this is bad for the town. One of the things that you need to care about in Shasta County is they have this great speech. Oh, don't worry, Redding. You're only going to pay 40% of the 30 million. The rest is going to be paid by outside people. Who are outside people? Cottonwood, Bernie, Mount Shasta, that these are our neighbors that come here to shop at Costco and whatever they're going to do. So we're going to ask them now to pay for the Civic Auditorium.
And I think they're talking about tourists too, right?
When they look at the numbers, Redding's an economic hub of Shasta County, and people drive here. Like you said, you would come to town once a week to go buy cleats. That this is a place that has all the retail shopping.
Yeah.
And so the second piece is, if you think about, well, why do I care? Besides, this is just misuse of funds. This will drive our economy down. That we already fight in every situation about somebody buying online.
Yeah.
And so right now, if you're like, hey, let's go buy a washer and dryer at Gino's Appliance, and we're going to drive up from Cottonwood, and we're going to go buy that. And you do the math and you're like, you know what? I really wanted to buy local, but it's just finally too much. I'm not going to buy a car in Redding. that you will avoid a sales tax when it gets expensive enough, and so you're pushing people to buy things online.
Yeah, well, my favorite is when people say, "Wow, the Bay Area is 10%, or this such and such is 8.25%," and I'm just thinking, "Wow, that's what we do."
We're Let's catch say, up with that. Let's yeah, catch up with that.
It's like, you know, this person, you know, has got like, yeah,
and I think Chico's up to 9. Plus,
and I'm going to Chico here in about 10 minutes or about 10 seconds, you know, because we have some basketball games this afternoon there, and it's interesting. I was talking to some people back in Chico there, and I said, "Hey, what difference do you, you know, do you know? What are you talking about?" And people don't even pay attention; like they don't even know. Like these things pass, and that's my concern, and that's what I'm hoping people do in this is they really, really research and they make the best decision for themselves.
And if they get out and vote,
yeah, get out and vote. If they think it's a good thing, go for it, and if not. Go for it. Like, either way, just be informed, do the work. Jay, I really appreciate it. You're going to come in. We're going to post a video tomorrow morning. We're going to have a little bit deeper conversation about a couple other things. You can see that at Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. Jay, thank you for coming in. Shasta County, I appreciate you. Love you. And we'll see you back here in a couple weeks.
Overtime hours for both this pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.